Luke 17, we want to begin at verse number 11. This morning, we brought a message on the 10 blind spies. Tonight, we want to look at the 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 11, the Bible tells us it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Where are the 9? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the service that we've enjoyed tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, for reminder in song of the marvelous grace of God. And Father, we know that salvation does indeed make us glad. Now, Lord, I pray tonight your blessings upon the mentioned prayer requests, the names who we've called today. Now, Father, bless the reading and the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Help us to understand and to realize the need that we all have to be grateful. Dear Lord, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we brought a message pertaining to the 10 blind spies. The point we were making was the fact that they were blind to the things that really mattered. They obviously had physical eyes. They saw what was before them, but yet they did not have spiritual discerning eyes to really see that which was really important. Now, tonight, we see in this account, in fact, I want to borrow a question that the Lord himself asked. He said, Where are the 9? But let's focus upon the 10 lepers. And Jesus said, Where are the 9? We've read the account. We notice here that they were all cleansed of their leprosy. 9 went on their way, but 1 returned, came back, and gave thanks, gave praise to God. And then Jesus said, Where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? 9 of them were ungrateful. They were ungrateful. Now, leprosy was a terrible thing. Fortunately, due to modern medicine, leprosy is not a death knell as it used to be years ago, especially during Old Testament days. To be a leper was to know of a certain death that was imminent. Leprosy would eat away and eat away and eat away, and in Jewish economy, we know lepers were actually isolated, placed by themselves, contained, kept away from society. They had to cover their lip and cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. They were not permitted to be near anyone. They were isolated. It was a terrible disease that would eat away and eat away and eat away and literally consume the human flesh, and a person would die. It was a terrible thing to be a leper. Also, interestingly enough, at the time the Lord spoke these words, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't have anything to do with each other. The Jews especially considered themselves the hierarchy, and the Samaritans were looked down upon. Now, interestingly enough, here we see 10 men who all had leprosy. One of those men happened to be a Samaritan, but the thing about this account is the fact that they forgot the things that kept them apart because they had a common misery. Due to the common misery, they forgot what the dividing lines had been, and they were still together. They were all lepers. You had the 9 Jews. You had the 1 who was a Samaritan, but that made no difference. They were combined They were together because of a common denominator, a common misery. There's a point to be made with that. I think the point is this. When it comes to the things that divide, and there are many things that can divide the people of God, but if we will stay united on the common thing, the things that mean the most, that are more important to God, focus on that. Many times that helps us to get through our differences. We need to major on the major and minor on the minors, in other words. So I see that point here. Now you'll notice something else here. This man, the one who came back, who was healed, he cried with a loud voice. Did you notice that? Loud voice. Interesting sound coming from over here on the left. A loud voice. You know, we'd probably call him a fanatic, wouldn't we? In modern day terminology, we'd say he's a fanatic. Anybody get very excited, we call him a fanatic. It's okay to go to a ball game and shout your voice hoarse. You call that a fan. But you call a person a fanatic if they really get on board and excited about serving God and making it known and shouting and amening and all that. We call that guy a fanatic. So this man had a loud voice. Now, what I see here tonight, and don't expect any real profound kind of an outline. Let's just kind of work ways through. Let me deal with principle tonight. Here's what I notice about this one man that came back. He came back to praise God. He didn't say a word about the nine that didn't come back. Did you catch that? In other words, he didn't complain about the nine. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing to get to the place in our life where we'd quit complaining. Just get caught up in loving and serving God, and if someone else isn't loving and serving God, we pray for them, but we don't really need to complain and get on their case. Take it to the Lord. Some people are busybodies. They're so much concerned about what others are not doing that they're losing ground themselves in the process. Let's just make sure we get back and praise God and pray for the nine that don't come back. But there's a point there, you see. There's a point. What we have here is something else. Jesus told them to go see the priest. It was a part of Old Testament law. It's brought out in Leviticus chapter 13, 14 that the priest would be the one to literally, officially pronounce cleansing in the case of a leper. They, and you'll note this, those lepers cleanse now. Well, they start on the way. Jesus said, go see the priest. You see, when a person went to see the priest, that would indicate they're healed. And the priest would acknowledge it, would certify it, you might say. So by the mere fact that they were going to see the priest, that indicated that they must have had faith that the Lord would heal them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. They must have had the faith to believe the Lord would heal them, or they would not have gone. Because the only reason they'd go see the priest would be to have the priest's certification of their healing. You follow what we see here. So that indicated something. Now, when I think of the fact that one came back to thank the Lord, it leads us to make a comparison. When it comes to Christian emotion, when it comes to Christian attitude, we think of prayer, we think of thanksgiving, and we think of praise. Have you ever thought about the difference? For example, in prayer, we find ourselves primarily asking God for something. Many times we focus upon our own needs and we pray and ask God to heal. Or we're asking God for something in relation to maybe someone else. In thanksgiving, we show many times gladness that God has been good. We're glad that God has been good. But in praise, at that point of things, we're caught up with worship and adoration. I guess we could perhaps put it like this. We spend more time praying than we do praising. In fact, I think it probably takes more out of us to truly praise God than it does to pray. We have to pull down deeper. Because in praise, our focus is upon the majesty, the glory of the Lord. He's getting all of our attention. But when we pray, many times, we're focused upon ourselves and our needs. There's a song that says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. We certainly need to be counting our blessings more. We need to be thinking more about how God has blessed us. We need to be taken up more with praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing in what God has done. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, we receive a continent of mercies, but only return an island of praise. And how true that statement is. I think that it would all change around for all of us, though, if we would spend less time looking at the blessings and more time looking at the blesser. If we would spend less time looking at the gifts and more time looking at the giver. When we're focused upon the giver, then it's amazing how everything gets a proper order then. It's looking to the Lord. They all did pray. We see that in the account here. But only one returned to praise. And again, I'm making a point here. We tend to pray more than praise. We see ourselves in prayer, but we see the hand of God and the person of God in praise. No wonder this old boy came back to praise the Lord. Think about what happened. Think about what went on in his life. He came back to say thank you. He came back to praise the Lord. But can you hear the heartbreak in the voice of Jesus when Jesus said, where are the nine? We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? There should have been 10 men bowing in thanksgiving instead of one. All 10 had experienced God's providence in bringing Jesus by. All 10 had experienced Christ's compassion and love in healing them and His power to make them whole. But only one of them came back to praise the Lord. All of them should have got together and formed an impromptu choir at that time and sung together Psalm 103. They should have had a singspiration at that point of time. They should have been singing Psalm 103 that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. They should have been singing Psalm 103. They should have been saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. They should have been praising the Lord, but one of them came back to do just that. The 10 went on their way. Now, there's a song. I know that we don't have it in our hymn book. It's an old German song written in 1636 by a man by the name of Martin Rinkert, German. It was a popular Christian hymn many, many years ago. The name of the hymn is called Now Thank We All Our God. How many of you have heard of that song? Now Thank We All Our God. That old song, 1636. It goes like this. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. You might be shocked to know that the author that song was a Lutheran preacher, minister, by the name of Martin Rinkert. He lived during the time of the 60 Years' War, during the time of his life and ministry. There was a great plague, a severe plague, 1637, for example, to be exact. A great plague that went through that area of Europe. He was the only surviving pastor in Ellenburg. We're told that he conducted as many as 50 funerals a day. He performed more than 4,000 funerals in that 1 year due to deaths from that great plague, including his own wife's. Yet he wrote the song, "Now Thank We All Our God." I'll tell you something. That takes grace. That takes a knowledge of who Christ really is. To write a song from the depth of the heart when you buried 4,000 people, including your own wife, in 1 year, and yet to still thank God and praise God. I'm telling you, that's Christianity. That's spirituality at its best. We look here at this passage of Scripture. 10 lepers. 10 got healed of leprosy. But I believe that this man, this one man that came back, he received not only healing of his body, but I believe that this man received healing of his soul. We have every reason to believe that this one man, when he came back, in fact, if you look down, if you look at verse 19, it says, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I understand that there's differences of opinion as to maybe what happened. Maybe some Bible expositors would say they all got saved. Well, I'm not too sure about the 9. I do believe this. I know they got healed of leprosy. But there's one thing we can be sure of. This man not only had his leprosy taken care of, this man had his sin taken care of. Because he left and Jesus said he was whole. That's more than a physical healing. Can I say this morning that when it comes to, or this afternoon rather, when it comes to the matter of healing, let's not discount the blessings of physical healing, but let's be doubly rejoicing in the blessings of spiritual healing. It's far more important to be healed spiritually than it is physically. Now I know that all of us, we have people, so many people today on our prayer list, but I'll tell you something, spiritual healing is still the best. That's still better. That's the best. Because that's the kind of healing that puts you in heaven. That's the kind of healing that gives you a soul that's been made right. That's the kind of healing that keeps you out of hell. That's the kind of healing that puts you in a mode of rejoicing forever. You see, that's why it's important to have the soul healed. And this man just couldn't wait to get back to the one who had saved, who had healed him. And in the process of that, the Lord did a work deeper. The Lord healed his soul. You know, it's a sobering thought, though. Where are the 9? Now, we know we can answer this, where was the 1? But what about the 9? We've identified where the 1 was. He's at the feet of Christ. He came back to rejoice. He come back to praise God. He come back to thank the Lord. We know where he was, but where was the 9? That's a sorrowful thing. When he came back, though, how did he come back? He didn't come back with a 9. He came back alone, didn't he? There's a point to be made there. When it comes to the matter of spiritual blessings, when it comes to the matter of salvation, when it comes to the matter of spiritual growth, it is a person-to-God encounter. It is alone. Sinners are saved alone. Christians are blessed alone. Now, what I mean by that, when it comes to salvation, a sinner by themselves must get to Christ. No one gets there on proxy. No one gets there on someone else's coattail. It's a personal encounter with God on the part of that sinner. When it comes to a Christian, let's say in this church, every saved person in this church, if you're to grow in the Lord, that's between you and God. Other people may enhance you, and fellowship is important, and Christians are important to pray for you, but when it comes to really going anywhere with God, that's between you and the Lord. It's up to you, my friend. You can't blame anyone if you're not growing. You can blame yourself. It's a personal thing. This man came back alone. And I'll tell you, when we go forward alone in many respects. It's between us and the Lord. Something, it's good to keep that in mind. We can't blame our spouses. We can't blame our children. We can't blame our neighbors. We cannot blame our church. If we're not going forward, it's between us and God. He came back alone, and we go forward alone in that principle respect. We know where this one was. We see his realization, don't we? He realized two things. He realized he had been healed. And here's something else I like about what he realized. He realized he didn't need to go to the temple because he was a Samaritan. And besides, I take it to mean he was already healed, so what could the priest do for him anyway? I see that. He came, you see, the law had no authority over him. He came back and thanked Jesus for what Jesus had done for him. Now the law were out to, the nine were out to honor the law, but this man knew that he had met grace. And there's a difference between grace and law. So we see, first of all, his realization, and then we see his rejoicing. He kept on praising the Lord. That's the thought right here. He kept on praising the Lord. He had a loud voice. He glorified God. You see, I don't believe there's anything wrong with a loud voice of praise. I don't think there's anything wrong in expression. I mean, where do we have Bible to keeping our silence all the time? If we rejoice, why don't we make it known? It ought to first of all register on our faces. And I think in the house of God it needs to come out from time to time in our voices. I mean, after all, the word praise is a Bible word. After all, the word amen is a Bible word. After all, the word hallelujah is a Bible word. I mean, we believe the Bible, don't we? Well, let's use the words the Bible talks about. He came back with his voice, had a loud voice. You have a lot of Baptists today cut loose with loud voices, and somebody's going to be judging them in a hurry. They'll be saying that guy belongs in a Pentecostal church or Church of God. No, every Christian ought to be lifting up loud voices from time to time praising the Lord. Now, I'm not, you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not talking about losing a balance in how we worship the Lord. But I think I do think this. I believe that praise is overdue for people, and I'm going to say some of the members of this church. Praise is overdue. It's about time you let it be made known what Christ has done for you. It's about time. This man got off to a good start. He started on the very day that God got a hold of him. He had a loud voice. I like that. Had a loud voice. Kept on praising the Lord. No wonder. You see, if it would ever dawn on us what the Lord has done for us, we'd be hard to handle. He's worthy of our praise. But we're far behind in that department. We need to take the time to be thankful. So, we say this. Where was the one? We know where he was. He's back there at the feet of Jesus. Where was the nine? Maybe we need to ask ourselves a question tonight. Who are the nine? Who are they? I can tell you who they are. They're the ones that's been blessed. We know that for sure. Who are they? Well, they're the ones that's been blessed. Every person has been blessed. I mean, every one of us have been blessed. Every one. So we can identify them in that way. They're the ones that have been blessed. Who really can say, I've not been blessed? Did you get up this morning? You sure did. Did you eat your breakfast? Most of you did. Did you have a good lunch today? Did you get your nap? Do you have a comfortable home? Do you have an air conditioner? Do you have a car to drive, or in my case, a stroller until I was 12? But we've been blessed, you see. We've been blessed. So where are the nine? I would kind of break this down in a very practical way. Where are the nine? Well, we know where they're not. They're not returning and praising God like they should. I'll tell you where a lot of the nine are, and I know many of you will say when I make this statement, you'll be saying, well, why didn't you preach just this morning? Well, I didn't think about preaching. I didn't feel led to preach this morning. You tell them I said it, okay? Where are the nine? I believe the nine many times are the people that are too quick during the summertime to hook up a boat and go to the lake instead of be in church. Getting nosy, aren't I? You see, the nine, you can't depend on them many times. The nine, you find them defeated a lot of times. The nine are not returning and praising God. Too many people that are in the category of the nine, they look for more excuses not to be in church than to be in church. The slightest little thing keeps them out of the house of God. I've been around this neck of the woods long enough, and I've gotten to know this church well enough to know the people who you can depend on around here and who you can't. I've seen some of you folks come to church and faithful to God, and you came sick, you got all kinds of problems, but you just want to get back and praise God, though. You're just glad for what God has done for you, and you want to be in church, you want to be found faithful, and people can depend upon you. You're the one, you're not the nine. But where are the nine? The nine are the faithful or the unfaithful, but the one is the faithful. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not presenting this tonight as a pure fact, but maybe this suggests a percentage in terms of those that are serious about God. Just maybe. We have 1 in 10. Again, don't take this to the bank. But I'll tell you though, it seems to suggest a percentage pretty good. 1 in 10. See, there's a lot of people tonight that profess to be saved. But how many are serious about God? How many really know what it means? Even when it comes to those within our churches that are saved, I'm not questioning their testimony of salvation. But it seems, though, that there's about 1 out of 9, or 10 rather, that really go all out and are faithful. I'll tell you who the one is. The one are those who are the faithful servants in our churches. The one are those that you can count on being up here in the choir singing. The one are those who faithfully teach their Sunday school class. The one are the deacons. The one are those that are faithful. The one are those that you can pretty well figure out when you come to church, you'll see them here. Everybody has to be going from time to time. We know that's understandable. But I'll tell you though, the one are the ones that you can depend on. They're the ones you find at the feet of Christ. They're the ones you find them praising the Lord. They're the ones that express their praise by their lifestyle because they're just as serious about God when they're out of church as when they're in church. That would represent the one. It's a shame the statistics are about like that, but that seems to be true. Not all's gold that glistens. I never will forget, and I've used this before, I never will forget, first church I pastored, this man came forward and made a profession of faith. And I call it a profession, and I'll tell you why I call it a profession. Well, after he called on the Lord, then I had him to tell the people what God had done for him. And here are the words that came out of his mouth when I asked this man there in the front of the church, what did the Lord just do for you? I was wanting him to say, the Lord just saved me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's what he said. He said, something got a hold of me. I swear it did. Whatever it was that got a hold of him, it must have been a something instead of a someone, because I never saw that man to my knowledge back in church after that. And I'm afraid that's the way it is with many people. It's an emotional thing. But the one finds a way to get back to God. The one finds a way to be faithful. The one is the one who will not be defeated, who will keep on keeping on. The one will find a way to keep their eyes on God and stay unglued and keep on serving the Lord. And people may criticize from time to time, and there may be issues that come up, but you'll find the one, keep on keeping on for God. That's the one for you. But the nine are the ones you can't count on. Jesus said, where are the nine? The blessed Son of God should never have had to ask that question. I would think tonight that anyone that's tasted that the Lord is good, salvation, and knows the joy of sins forgiven, and knows the privilege of being a justified one, counted one of God's own, called a child of God, with a reserved seat in heaven, with a confirmed future of glory, I would think the least we could do is give God our best while we're upon this earth. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Let's at least be the 1. And let's pray that the 9 will catch on too. Because we all have every reason and every right, if we're saved, to be praising God together and rejoicing in unity in what God has done for us. He took care of the leprosy of our soul. And that's a mighty big working of grace, isn't it? Maybe you would just like to come tonight as we have an invitation and get on this altar and just say, Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you for what you've done. You've spoken to my heart tonight about what you've done for me, and I just want to praise you tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father,